Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
You are so mighty, you are so wonderful. And Lord, we know that you always want to reveal more and more of yourself to us. Thank you that you're the God of revelation. You can only be known by revelation. And so, Lord, we just open our hearts to receive afresh from you this morning, that we may then go and do the things that you call us to do and be the people you want us to be, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, grab a seat. Well, I've just had a very interesting weekend. A weekend of stark contrasts. The conference in Italy, when all the churches come together, the churches that relate to us there, they have their annual conference. 500-600 people come together from all over Italy. It was just a simply amazing time. It was such a blessed time in God. The worship, especially on the Saturday night, was just phenomenal. And people meeting with God and receiving through the Word, really having breakthroughs in their lives, healing and so on. It was a wonderful time. By contrast, when Caroline and I arrived at Gatwick Airport to fly out there in the early hours, about 5 o'clock or something, half past five on Friday morning, there was absolute chaos. All the luggage belts weren't working. There were thousands of people in long queues. I mean, there must have been thousands, not just hundreds. It was just jam-packed with people. Absolute chaos. Eventually, we managed to get rid of our luggage, and the plane got there all right. Caroline's bag got there all right, but mine didn't. Which is always a bit of a nuisance if you're ministering, because all your ministry clothes and stuff that you normally wear are in your bag, besides all the other essential things, Bible and so on. So, it will come tomorrow, and we'll deliver it tomorrow. No bag on Saturday, no bag on Sunday. Get a text from EasyJet yesterday. We are still looking for your luggage. Oh, hallelujah, praise God. They don't even know where it is. But then we get a text this morning to say, we've found your luggage. And it's arriving at Gatwick on flight U something. I don't know what airline is U. I've been on lots of airlines, but I don't know what U is. So where it's been, I don't know. But praise God, it will get back today. So there was all this sort of hassle, and it was exceedingly difficult. The place where I was hardly any internet, telephone signal was poor, communication was really difficult. And you had this contrast of, well, this is what goes on in the world. But when you get into the things of the Spirit, it's all blessing, it's victory, God's moving, it's all power. These two things happening. So I said to the Lord, what's all this about? What are you saying through this? So I said to the people on Sunday morning, of course, my lost bag is all your fault. You say things like that, it gets people's attention, you see. Then I say, because what the Lord has shown me is this is a prophetic sign to you, that people spend so much of their time and attention focusing on their possessions, whereas all that matters is the anointing. I couldn't bring any of my possessions with me, but I brought the anointing. And what matters is the anointing. Amen? So it's like just a little prophetic lesson for all of us, because we spend so much time and attention on things instead of on Him. Hallelujah. Now, this is the keynote. Oh, I never, because the communication was so poor out there, I didn't discover the wonderful, wonderful, wonderful news till I got back to Gatwick yesterday evening that Arsenal won the cup. Amazing, I couldn't even find out who won the cup. So praise God. Trust in Him with all your heart. And so the purpose of the keynote is for God to, it's not just another message, but to set the tone of things for the following week. And what is supposed to happen in all the 8 o'clocks that follow is to pick up the theme of the keynote and really press in with God along that same pattern, along that same line. And God leads us progressively week by week. There's a definite plan that He has in the way that He leads us in the keynotes. If you were to go over the keynotes and listen to them one after another, you would see how they all follow on in a logical sequence spiritually. And that's true, too, of this morning. Now, recently, you see, God was talking to us about our lives being these golden cups that we give into His hands. Now, I trust that you, every day since then, have been using that. That when you worship, you're saying, Lord, come and drink from my cup. And that you're saying, Lord, just use this cup, cause others to come and drink from this cup, because I've placed my cup, golden cup, in your hands. And of course, remember, the more that the Spirit of God uses you, the more jewels He adds to the cup. So that wasn't just a message. It's a message to use. It's a message to follow up on. It's a message to enrich our lives spiritually. Amen. I don't like the sound of His silence. It looks as if not everybody has been following that up. But really, you know, what does the Word of God say? That if we listen to what He says and don't put it into practice, we deceive ourselves. So when God speaks to us, we need to put what He says into practice. And then, of course, we benefit. And He is glorified, we benefit, and so do others. Now, this morning, I mentioned that thing about the cup because this morning's message really is linked with that. I pray scriptures over all you guys every day, over Kingdom Faith, over all the students, over all the team, the leadership team, over Pastor Clive in particularly, over all the churches that relate to us in Kingdom Faith. And two scriptures that I pray over Kingdom Faith every day. One of them is in Philippians 4, verse 19, which you will know. And my God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. So I pray that over all of you and over all of Kingdom Faith, that God will meet all your needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. That He will meet all the needs of Kingdom Faith, all the needs that each of us have in our respective positions of responsibility, leadership, or whatever. And of course, you know the great power of speaking the Word of God over our lives and over what is happening. But of course, the context of that scripture is significant. It's not just that we can extract a promise like that out of its context, because it's the result of something. So I'm just going to read the verses that precede that in Philippians 4. Paul says this. I'm going to read from verse 10. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you have no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, or I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment and even more. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. You see, the promise, my God will supply all your needs, is the result of their faithfulness in giving. And often Christians quote verse 19, but without being mindful of the context. Paul is congratulating the Philippians that more than any other churches, they supported him in his ministry, in the work. They gave, and they gave generously. And because they were giving, they would reap the benefit of what they're sowing. So it's another scripture that underlines that basic scriptural principle. The measure you give is the measure you get back. But good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. What Paul is saying is, you Philippians have been meeting my need. Now God will meet every need of yours. You see, there's a heart attitude there, isn't it? Isn't there? It's not the attitude of, we want to get, we just need to receive, but we want to give. And that's the essence of placing the golden cup in the hands of the Lord and leaving it there. And the way you leave it there is not to forget about it, but every day to acknowledge. Whether you use the word cup or not doesn't matter, but your life is given over into his hands for him to drink from your life, your praise, your worship, and for him to use you in whatever way that he desires. In that way, you see, you are expressing this giving, constantly giving of yourself. And God's promise is, my God will supply every need of yours. Amazing, isn't it? Because you see, the every need is the good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, of which Jesus spoke. But you don't get the measure back unless you give first. And it isn't just that we want great times of worship and great 8 o'clocks. What matters is what God receives from these times. Because if he receives something, we're going to receive even more. Because that's the way he works. According to this scriptural principle, the measure you give is the measure you get back. You reap what you sow. So as we really want to give to the Lord, we give of ourselves, we give of our best, we give of our hearts, then we can have absolute confidence that our God will supply every need of ours. So, you know, sometimes students need money to pay fees and things, don't they? And you see, one of the things I've learned is never pray for money. I never asked God for money. Even when he gave the promise of $1 million to buy this place, I wasn't asking him for money. I was giving myself to him. Because I knew this principle. I was seeking him for himself. And out of that, he gave the promise. It's just the spiritual principle. And we're never going to get God to act in any other way than the way he has laid down in the Word of God. So, you know, when we need to receive, that is just a reminder from God that actually our greatest need is to give. To give of ourselves, to give in whatever way God is leading us, but essentially to be giving of ourselves to him for his will, for his purposes. And then our God will supply every need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. You keep giving yourself to the Lord and you can never be in need. You never ever really can be in need. I mean, that's really been the testimony of my life, and my wife Caroline would agree that we never, ever, ever are left in need, because in our hearts, we just want to give our lives over to God for the glory of God, to be used of God. So this is the spiritual principle, you know. It's not looking at the need and believing that God will meet my need. Oh, Lord, I believe that you will supply the fees or whatever. No, 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 that's no way to pray. The way to pray is to give, is to worship, is to pour your heart out, is to surrender to him, is to allow God to use you to bless others and to give to them in whatever way. And, you see, this is what so often Christians miss. The word "and" at the beginning of this verse, "and my God shall supply every need." In other words, my God meeting your need is connected to what's gone before. It's the same with, you know, "by my stripes you are healed." Christians are forever quoting that, but actually the scripture says, "and by my stripes you're healed." In other words, the promise is connected to what's gone before. The punishment that brought you peace has been laid upon me, and by my stripes you are healed. So we need the peace before the healing. To God, the two things are essentially linked, that he bore our sicknesses and grief and sorrow and everything. He took all of our sin upon himself, and then he suffered the punishment that we deserve, that we might have peace. And so much of the healing that is needed, so many physical conditions, are caused by stress in people's lives, one way or another. Peace is an essential part of that healing. So, you know, we need to be abiding in the peace of God, knowing that God's purpose is to pour his peace into our lives. Therefore, ever thankful for what Jesus has done on the cross to obliterate the sin and everything that does not honor and glorify him, so that we can have peace with him, peace with others, peace with ourselves, and receive the healing that he wants. So that little word "and" should never be ignored in Scripture, because it means that whatever follows is linked to what has gone before. So, "and my God shall supply every need of yours." Why? Because as Kingdom Faith, we are given over to God, given over to the purposes of God. We exist for the purposes of God. We don't exist so that people can have a job working for the Lord or anything like that. We exist to see the kingdom of God come, the will of God being done here on earth. We give our lives over. Praise God. I mean, in the early years of Kingdom Faith, nobody had a salary. Nobody was paid. Everybody was living by faith. You had to give yourself over to God or there wouldn't be any money to live on. It's sort of easy for guys now because you get a paycheck every month. But But in those early days, we had to be giving of ourselves over to God. Otherwise, there wouldn't have been anything to live on. So the principle still needs to apply, even though the circumstances are now different than they were in those days. The other scripture that I pray over you all every day is in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ. Now, those are the words I usually pray over you every day. But again, there's the context. Here, the most important part of the context is what follows. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To one we are the smell of death, to the other the fragrance of life. And who is equal to such a task? Again, you see, that's why we exist. Not only why we exist as Kingdom Faith, but why we exist as Christians, as believers, as the Church of Jesus Christ. That not only will He meet all our needs, but He will always lead us in His triumphal procession. Why? Because His call upon our lives is to be this sweet aroma, this sweet perfume. There's some things about revival that it's very difficult to explain because you have to experience it to really understand it. But one of the things that happens in times of revival is the only way I can describe it is there's a sweetness in the worship. Now, I don't mean it becomes all syrupy, you know, and all sentimental and la-la-la stuff. No, no, no. But there's something of the presence of God that just makes it so sweet. It's as if you can almost smell that aroma of Christ among His people. And that's one of the things I always long for, you know. Lord, just move us into that place. It can be very aggressive and full of power, and yet at the same time, sweet. And you say, well, how can that happen? Well, think of Jesus for a moment. He was the man of authority and power, but how did He describe His heart? Humble and gentle. The gentleness and the power were not contradictory. They were two sides of the same person in Jesus. And so with us, we need that peace, we need that gentleness, we need the sweetness of Jesus in our lives. And you'll probably come across some Christians, because it's not true just of Christians. The presence of God produces that sweetness, you see. But you see it in some people that you meet, in some Christians you meet. There's just a sweetness about them. Where that sweetness exists, there's a tremendous sense of peace, of the presence of the Lord in that person's life. And I find it's wonderful to be around such people. And I always pray, Lord, I want more of that sweetness. Because I know in my life it's been there at some times, but it's not so obvious at other times. And what all of us are looking for, isn't it, is not just for God to do more in us and through us, but for there to be that consistency in our lives, where, like Jesus Himself, we are always the same. You know, he is always powerful. He is always sweet, if you like. Because what Paul is talking about here is the sweet aroma of Christ. What he's saying is, wow, that presence is really manifested, whether it's in worship or whether it's in a person, whether it's among a group of people, there is that sweetness. The purpose is not just to have glorious experiences of the presence of God, but so that we might spread everywhere this sweet aroma of Christ. In other words, the more that is evidenced in our lives, the more that is what we will be able to spread. That's why I pray this scripture over Kingdom Faith every day, that that sweet aroma of Christ will be seen in the life of Kingdom Faith, and we will spread that sweet aroma of Christ whenever we go out. I think we certainly saw something of that sweet aroma of Christ in Italy this last weekend as God was meeting with his people. It was actually a very powerful time. But at the same time, you know, you get that sweetness of the Lord's presence. So you put these two scriptures together, and I mean, at other times I might pray other scriptures as well, but these are the two scriptures that I pray every day over your lives. Because as part of Kingdom Faith, I'm so aware that God does need to meet every need of ours, and therefore we need to be giving of ourselves to him in whatever way he is asking of us, so that we can inherit that glorious promise that God will meet every need of ours according to his riches in glory. I'm always praising God. He is so wonderful in his glory. You know, worship is encountering God in his glory. And then, you see, coupled with that, meeting with him in the magnificence of his glory and the sweetness of his presence, wanting as Kingdom Faith, whether here or in Worthing or Crawley or London or Taunton or Scarborough or in any of the relating churches, or whenever ministry teams go out around this nation, among other nations, that wherever we go, we're spreading this sweet aroma of Christ. The point being this, that if we're following Jesus, he will always lead us in his triumphant procession. I didn't actually need my bag in order to see God move my case, in order to see God move powerfully this weekend. It wasn't, you know, Lord, lead me in triumph over EasyJet or anything like that. You see, the point is that you can't imagine Jesus calling anybody to be his disciple, saying, come follow me and I'll lead you into failure. You see, you can't imagine him saying, I'll lead you into fear, I'll lead you into doubt, I'll lead you into the enemy's territory, so that you are overcome. I mean, it's nonsense. You can't even think like that. Oh, in the world there will be tribulation. Jesus came into the midst of the world, but he triumphed over the world. And what does the scripture say? What is it that has overcome the world? Even our faith. You see, and what is the substance of our faith? Our faith is in Jesus, isn't it? And if we are following the Good Shepherd, you know, we know his voice and follow him, then he's always leading us in triumph. So a lesson I learned a long, long time ago is if I'm not walking in triumph, I'm not following Jesus. Oh, sometimes there may need to be a little battle or struggle go on, but you know that at the end of it, you're going to come out on top if you're following Jesus. You're never going to be defeated. Amen? If you're following him, you're always going to come out in triumph. It's always a matter of faith, isn't it? And you see, faith always has its focus on the outcome. You remember I was teaching you how to pray and to sow the word of God. And when you pray, you don't just pray a whole lot of words, but you sow the word and you water the word with thanksgiving, and then you see that word come to fruition, come to fruitfulness, come to harvest. Because the spirit and the life is in the word, and the spirit and the word will work together. So you pray the word over a situation, and the word is going to produce the harvest that will glorify God in that situation. But you see, we have to be like the farmer. You know, when the farmer plants a seed, remember I told you, he doesn't go the following day or the following week and dig it up to see how it's getting on. When he's sowing the seed, his faith is for the harvest. He might just be with his tractor, you know, and all the seed is falling into the ground as he goes over. But what he sees is not just a plowed field. He sees the harvest. And you know, he'll come back the following day or the following week and there's nothing to be seen, but he still sees the harvest. And when the first shoots begin to come through, he doesn't say, oh, I better dig them up and see how they're getting on. No. He says, well, that's just the first signs of the harvest. And we have to remember that many of the promises of God are only inherited by faith with patience. And you see, this is the point, that sometimes we have to go through some process, some growing process or whatever, in order to see the fulfillment of the promises of God. But we actually, if we're people of faith, we see the fulfillment when we sow the seed. Can you understand that? I was reading something the other day from my friend Smith Wigglesworth. As you know, I have a dose of him every day. Very good for the faith constitution. He was telling, I heard this before, he was telling of a woman who had this goiter, this big, you know, lump on her neck. And she came to one of his meetings for prayer, and she went away from the meeting praising God that he'd healed her, went home, gave testimony, God has healed me of my goiter. And everybody sort of looked and they could still see the goiter, but she was just praising God that he healed her. Smith Wigglesworth went back to the same town a year later, and so she came and she stood in the meeting and gave a testimony, thank you, Lord, that last year you healed my goiter. And there everybody sort of looked, but she was just praising God that she'd healed his goiter and her goiter. And so he came back so this was the third year, and she came and she was just thanking God in the meeting. She said, oh, thank you, Lord, thank you so much for healing my goiter. And she was really, you know, full of praise and so on. And after the meeting, some people accosted her and said, why don't you get real? I mean, just look in the mirror. Your goiter is bigger now than it's ever been. So she went home and she said, Lord, you know you've healed my goiter, and I know you've healed my goiter, but for the sake of all those who don't believe, will you please take it away? And when she woke the following morning, there was no goiter. You see, the point is that for those 3 years, she saw the harvest. She wasn't looking in the mirror, seeing the problem. She believed. She sowed the word. She sowed her faith. And she believed the harvest. She saw the harvest. That would have been a good place for everybody to say hallelujah, but... Because that kind of thing is a great example to us, isn't it? It's like me having to thank God. I was thanking God every day for 4 months for that $1 million that bought this place. 4 months before I saw it. But you see, when God spoke the word, the promise, I saw the harvest. Because I know he's faithful. I know that God could not say something like that to me and it not happen. It would just be totally impossible for it not to happen. And I knew I hadn't been deceived. I knew I wasn't listening to myself. I mean, I've come across many people say, I'm believing God to give me £1 million. Well, you can believe that as much as you like, but it'll never happen. Because that's not faith. Faith is responding to the initiative of God. It's listening to what God says he will do, not what you tell him to do. That's why it's so important when we pray with faith that we're sowing the word of God. So we put these two scriptures and a lot of other scriptures together because I believe this is the essence of our life. The scripture that has always been like the kind of the motto of Kingdom Faith is faith working through love. And you see, this is the essence of both these scriptures. That in love we give of ourselves to God, in love we give of ourselves to others, in love we give of ourselves in whatever way God wants us to serve or to minister. And he fulfills his promise. He meets every need of ours according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus, because he has already blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. And at the same time, you see, he always leads us in his triumphal procession. Even when sometimes it seems a little bumpy on the way, you know he's going to lead you through to triumph. He's going to lead you through to victory. He always, always, the scripture says, always means always leads us in his triumphant procession in Christ. They're two great faith-building scriptures. But you see, if you use scriptures like this in your life, then it helps you to keep your focus on the outcome, not on the situation. On where you're going, not just where you are. On what God says he would do, not just on what you see happening in the present. And that's the essence of faith. That you're not one who is dependent upon your feelings and the circumstances and all of that. I mean, in all that luggage business, I was just totally at peace about the whole thing. It was quite laughable on Friday. I mean, I had nothing. We'd got up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and the plan was to get there, have a rest, because the first meeting started at 9 o'clock at night. That's Italy for you. They start meetings at 9 o'clock at night. And so, you know, I needed a good rest. Well, there wasn't a rest in the afternoon because I was out shopping. Because I had no clothes to wear except, you know, what I was dressed in. But I had to wear my traveling trousers. I didn't buy any new trousers. I was expecting the gear to come the following day. So, you know, but you can just be at peace. You say, well, it doesn't matter. God's in charge. What matters is what he does. You know, none of these peripheral things. And you can just be at peace, and not allow these things to cause you aggravation. I mean, it was frustrating, but we were having a laugh about it, you know. Because, you know, in the end, God always triumphs. Hallelujah. So isn't it good to be alive? Isn't it great to be in Christ? Isn't it wonderful to be in his procession? And to know that it's always a triumphal procession. We're following him, you see. As disciples, we're following him. And he's leading us. He's the good shepherd. We know his voice. We're following him. And he's supplying all of our needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And he's enabling us to spread everywhere the fragrance of him. Hallelujah. And that's why we want more and more of that fragrance in our own lives. I mean, if you put it crudely, more and more of the smell of Jesus about you. Hallelujah. So, you know, if I was... The trouble when you're ministering, you know, and if you're on a platform with hundreds of people and there's lights and everything, it gets very hot and all your clothes get very hot. And ideally, you need a clean shirt for every session in sessions like that. But you see, the point is not how your shirt smells, if you get my meaning. Not what is happening in the natural, but what is happening in the spirit? Eh? What is happening in the spirit? It's so easy for us to get distracted from the things of the spirit to the things of the natural. And to get all worried and bothered about things of the natural. But if actually we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, everything else will be added to us. Because it's the promise of God. And no promise of God can ever, 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 ever fail. So long as we fulfill the conditions that go with the promises. If we do what He tells us to do, He will give what He promises to give. So, hallelujah. What a blessed people we are. I mean, we're just blessed. We're blessed beyond anything that you can ever express. Doesn't matter how you feel, you're blessed. I mean, God has blessed you with everything He's got in heaven. How can we ever think, oh, God's going to love me, oh, it's always so difficult, oh, I don't know why I have this problem, oh, God. I mean, that's for the birds. We're the children of God. Blessed. Filled with the fullness of Christ, living in Him, and He living in us. I mean, we lack nothing, according to the Scriptures. He has enriched us in every way, in all our speech and in all our knowledge. Well, I believe it. Whether you believe it or not, I believe it, and I'm living in it. And I'm not going to live in anything less than that. Amen. So come on, let's get to our feet. Praise God. He's calling you to live in it, isn't He? He said, get your eyes off yourself and your feelings and your circumstances and worrying about this and thinking about that and all the stuff that can happen day by day. He says, just get your focus on Me. Get your focus on the Lord. Just get your focus on Him. Hallelujah. Just give yourself to Him. Put that cup in His hands afresh today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anything that is in His hands is safe, it's secure, it's anointed, it's blessed, it's protected. Hallelujah. Come on. Poparazandaria leto bakalasandra. Oh, Ratapari Leto Bakalasandra. Oh, Jesus, You are so wonderful. You are just so, 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 so wonderful. Paparazandari Leto Bakalasandra. Oh, Paparazandari Leto Bakalasandra. Oh, Paparazandari Leto Bakalasitari Sandra. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, can you pray, Lord, I want to smell good? Not physically. We want you to smell good physically, but no, I want to smell good, Lord. I want that sweet aroma of Christ to fill my life. So everywhere I go, I spread the sweet aroma of Your presence, of Your goodness, of Your love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I want You to take out of my heart and life, Lord, all the sourness, all the things that aren't sweet. If there's any sourness in my heart, Purify my heart, Lord. Cleanse my heart of that sourness. I want the sweetness of your presence. I want that sweet aroma of Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I don't want to spread negativity. I want to spread praise. I want to spread the praise of your holy name. I want to speak of your goodness. I want to declare your love. I want to spread your power. Lord, I want to see you doing things because of the sweetness of your presence. Hallelujah. Korar pakara sandaria leto bakala sanduma. Oh, rasa tabaria leto bakala sitri sandama. Papara sandaria leto bakala sitri sandarama. Oh, papara sandaria leto bakala sitri sandama. Oh, papara sandaria leto bakala sitri sandama. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Poparazandaria leto bakala sitri sandama. O paparasaria leto bakala sandama. O paparazandaria leto bakala sidama. Just take all that negativity, Lord, out of every heart. Oh, we don't want negatives. We're not going to put up with negatives. We're not going to listen to the lies of the enemy. We're not going to listen to what the flesh says. We're not going to listen to what the world says. We're going to listen to what you say. Because you are the good shepherd, we know your voice and we follow you because we follow your word in the power of your spirit. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord. We praise your holy name. Thank you, Lord. These golden cups are in your hands today and every day. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You want to drink from our cups today. Drink of the praise, of the worship, of the love that is in our hearts for you. Thank you, Lord. You want to use these cups. Oh, yes. You want to use each one of us. Cause others, Lord, to come and drink of all that you have put into those cups through your mercy and grace. Use us, Lord. Use us every day. Use us every day for your glory, for your honor, for your praise. Don't let there be a day go by when we're not being used by you. Let us be a blessing to all those that are around us. Let us be a blessing to others that you cause us to encounter. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that each of us can just live to be a blessing, to bless you, to bless others, not being concerned to be blessed. We know, Lord, that if we give blessing, we'll be blessed. Hallelujah. You've already blessed us in Christ. And thank you, Lord, that as we share the blessing, so we get blessed. Oh, praise your holy name. Come on. Just thank him that today is a day of blessing. Today is a day of blessing. That means a day to bless others, a day to bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, just give your heart and life over to him afresh to be a blessing. Say, Lord, I want to be a blessing. I want my life to be a blessing, Lord. I want to bless you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength. Lord, I want to bless others in every situation. Lord, I want to be a blessing. Purala basandaria leto bakala sandara masitoba. Bastaglaria leto bakala sandaria lenoma. Enable me to be a blessing, Lord. Papara sandaria leto bakala sitri sandama. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Papara sandama. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphant procession in Christ and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Purabasarabaria leto bakala sandarama. Oh yes, come on, every one of us. Every one of us, that sweet aroma. Pupara sandaria leto bakala sandaria leto bakala sidri sandama. Oh papara sarabaria leto bakala sidri sandara basutama. Oh papara sarabaria leto bakala sandara masinama. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Lord. Come on, Master. Papara sandaria leto bakala sandaria leto bakala sinama. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Master. Papara sandaria leto bakala sidri sandaria lenoma. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Papara salabaria leto bakala sidri sandama. Oh, papara salabaria leto bakala sidri santo. Wonderful, 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 Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, let's worship him now. Just worship him now. Oh, hallelujah. Kuralama salamare elenama santo. Iralama salamare elenama sandama. Ora la massa la mare Elena massando. Ora la mare Elena massandare Elena massandama. Ora la massa la mare Elena massanto. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Ora la massa la mare Elena massanto. Ora la massa la mare Elena massandama. O papari elera bakala sinuma. O papari elera bakala sandara masinuma. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Ora la mala la masando malana ma. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Kura la masaya no marando ma. Ora la masa la maria lena masino ma. O papare elena masanda parana masinuma. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Papara sandare elena masanduma. O papare elena masanduma. O papara sandamaranama. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Pura la massa la mare elena masandama. O papare elena masandare elena masandama. O papare elena masandare elena masandu. O papare elena bakala sidri sandama. O papare elena masandu. O papari eleno masino maranama. O papari eleno masandari eleno masantu. O papari eleno masidari eleno ma. O papari eleno bakalasidri santu. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Pura la masandari elena masandama. O papari elena masandari elena masinoma. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Listen and hear my voice. Pay attention and hear what I say. When a farmer plows for planting, does he plow continually? Does he keep on breaking up and harrowing the soil? When he has leveled the surface, does he not sow caraway and scatter cumin? Does he not plant wheat in its place, barley in its plot, and spelt in its field? His God instructs him and teaches him the right way. Lord, we don't want to keep plowing and plowing and plowing and plowing. We want to scatter the seed and inherit the promises by faith with patience. We want to be those that see the harvest, Lord. See the outcome of what we've sown. Now, it's probably things you've been praying for. Don't want you just to go on praying the same thing over and over. That's like plowing again and again and again. If you've sown the seed, see the harvest. Be like that woman with the goiter. Begin to thank God now for the outcome. Not just because that's the right thing to do, but because you believe the outcome. You believe his faithfulness. You believe his promises. Hallelujah. So come on, just do that now. Nobody else is listening to you, but just speak out. Don't just stand there silent. Silence doesn't get anywhere. Just thank him. Thank him that that seed that you've sown comes to fruitfulness. You see the fruitfulness. You see the harvest. You see the outcome. Whether it's going to be today, tomorrow, next week, next year, 5 years, but you see it. Hallelujah. And you thank God for it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the harvest. Thank you for the outcome. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, that every word we sow in faith comes to fruitfulness. Every single one that we sow in faith. Because you say we will receive whatever we pray if we believe. So we thank you that every seed sown in faith comes to harvest. Praise your holy name. Oh, praise your holy name. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you. Can you be like that woman with the goiter and thank, really thank him, see? And she would even speak to others, oh, God has healed me. She didn't look at the circumstances. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. I can't hear enough praise here. Come on. He deserves much more praise. He deserves much more glory, much more honor. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Popara zandari, lero bakala zandari, lero bakala zinama. O papara zandari, lero bakala zidri sandama. O papara zandari, lero bakala zinama. Oh, papara zandari alero bakala sidaba. Oh, papara zandari alero bakala sidri sandama. Oh, papara zandari alero bakala sidri sandama. Oh, papara zandari alero bakala sidri sandama. Oh, papara zandari alero bakala sidama. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Papara zandari. Now, can you stand before the Lord this morning and say, Lord, I'm not going to sow any weeds.
What are weeds? Weeds are anything you say that contradicts the truth. And you see, according to Jesus, the weeds can choke the good seed. So no weeds. No sowing weeds. So why don't you pray, Lord, keep a watch over my lips. Hallelujah. That I will not declare anything negative over my life, over my circumstances, over Kingdom Faith, over the future, over those around me. My mouth is not sowing weeds. It's sowing wheat. It's sowing the good seed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that everywhere I go, I'm going to sow what is good, what is right, what is wholesome, what is going to bless. I'm going to sow seeds of truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Lord, if some of those weedy words have come from a weedy heart, then I just pull those weeds out of my heart right now. Purifying, cleansing the heart of any negative attitudes, of any negative feelings, thoughts. No, they don't belong. They do not belong. They don't belong in my life. I'm not a negative person, I'm a positive person. Because I'm a believer. Hallelujah. Come on, let's praise Him. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Puparazandaria lero bakala sata bakala sunama. Oh, paparazandaria lero bakala sitri sandama. Yes, 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 yes. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Paparazandaria lero bakala sato bakala sinama. Oh, paparazandaria lero bakala sitri sandama. Oh, paparazandaria lero bakala sitri sandama. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Poparazala baria lero bakara sanduma. Poparazandaria lero ba. Now, this is your keynote for the week. You see, that means you put this into operation for the next week. And let me tell you, if you put this into operation the next week, it'll be in the operation the week afterwards, and the week afterwards, and the week afterwards, and the week afterwards. It'll just become part of you. And this is going to be important as you go out in your placements. Huh? The people that are waiting for you in those churches where you go are not waiting for someone to come and sow weeds. They're waiting for someone to come and sow the good seed of the Word of God. Hallelujah. And there's going to be a harvest in those churches. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. And as the focus gets more and more on camp, camp is going to be so positive. Amen. Can you just see a harvest? I mean, just close your eyes now. You know, you can think of that meeting place in Peterborough where there's thousands of people. Now just imagine they're not people. They're stalks of wheat. A very good harvest. Good plump grains. Of wheat, just swaying gently in the breeze, the wind of the Spirit, moving upon that harvest field. It's a great harvest field. Hallelujah. And of course, the purpose is that all those seeds that are in that harvest, they are then going to take and spread all over the nation and beyond. So there needs to be a rich harvest at the camp so then there can be harvest all over the nation as a result of the camp. Can you see that? And yeah, there may be a few weeds there, but what I can see in my mind is weeds dying, and where that weed existed, a stalk of wheat coming up instead. An old life made new. Somebody saved. Somebody coming out of darkness into light. Hallelujah. So by the end of camp, no weeds. Hallelujah. 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 Can you just imagine now? Just keep your eyes closed. Just imagine all the children's groups, the youth, the children's groups. Harvest. Harvest, yes. Come on. They might be smaller in size, but still harvest. And the same thing. They're then going to spread those seeds. The children will spread seeds among their friends. The youth will go and spread seeds wherever. Same process. Can you thank the Lord for that? Can you see the outcome? Can you see the outcome? Popara sandaria letro pakala sandama. O papara sandaria letro pakala sitri sandama. O papara sandaria letro pakala sita balandama. O papara sandaria letro pakala sitri sandama. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, look, there's going to be good seed there, isn't there? Good soil, yes. What does God say? Well, that produces 30, 60, 100 times. I mean, the minimum is 30. Right? So just imagine, each one of those people at camp, each one of those children, each one of the youth, whatever, each one is going to bless at least 30 people. Because of what God does in them at camp. Can you see that? Can you see it? This isn't some vain hope. See it. See it. That God is going to do such an amazing work among the people. Some may go and bless 60. Some may bless 100. But at least they'll bless 30. Hallelujah. At least they'll sow the seed of truth into 30 lives, each one, somehow. Some, it doesn't mean they may see 30 saved, but they'll sow the seed of truth, of God's word, into at least 30. At least 30. Many of them into 60. Some of them into 100. Can we believe this? I mean, you think of the few thousand people at faith camp, but then you multiply that by 30 or 60 or 100, and you see just how many people are going to be influenced by what God does at camp. Can you thank the Lord for that? Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Popara sandaria lero bakala sata bakala sitri sandama. O papara sadabaria leto bakala sitri sandama. O papara sandaria lenum. And Lord, we thank you that as we go out and as people from the camp will go out to sow that seed, they would take the sweet aroma of Christ. And Lord, we believe that it's going to be a wonderful time when that sweet aroma is going to be so evidently amongst us. Thank you, Lord, that many sour hearts are going to be turned to sweetened lives. Many people living in despondency and despair are going to become a people of hope, a people of faith, a people of love. We praise you for the transforming power of the gospel. That all we have to do is preach the gospel and you'll do the rest. And we praise you, Lord. We bless you. We give you all the glory, all the honor. Popara sandalia letu pakala siti di santa. Oh, papara zandaria, leto bakala sitari sandam. So just as we finish, thank the Lord that today and every day you're in his triumphal procession. Hallelujah. He's leading you in triumph. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. And thank him that he meets every need of yours. As you give your life over to him, he meets every need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And all those riches are yours because you're in Christ. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands and thank him. Lift your voice and praise him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Praise you, praise you, praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Praise God. We're on the winning side. Praise the Lord.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.